Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. I am extremely tired, extremely sore, because my family drugged me out to Yosemite, and then we brought my dog, and my dog is this, like, half wolf, half buffalo, like, horse dog who drugged me all around Yosemite Valley. So if you happen to be out there in Yosemite and you saw somebody wearing, like, a light blue shirt and was being, like, skiing behind a dog, that was me. And so I'm tired. I'm joined, though, by Harrison, who is an extremely sunburned Harrison Fagan. Harrison, how's your face?
It's not great, I'm going to be honest.
I'm going to be like Ricky Rubin. Change your face.
Yeah, I mean, I need to. I got sunburned really bad today. So if you guys wonder why I'm going to be even crankier with Anthony than normal, it's because my face is, like, peeling off.
So that's the current state of the Locked On Lakers, the dynamic duo that is the Locked On Lakers.
And listen to the rest of the show. don't let that intro dissuade you.
I can't feel, like, below my waist, and Harrison can't feel his face. So between the two of us, we're just anesthesia'd out. So we're going to try to get through the show. It's going to be a fun one, though, I promise. We try to keep these topics relatively fresh. I coerced Harrison into talking about what we're going to talk about on the show. We'll get into that in a second. As always, follow the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using those promo codes on SeatGeek, Mac Weldon. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers. Go to all these places. We've been fortunate enough to get a ton of support from all over the place. Make sure you guys continue to support them. The way today's show breaks down is this. The Knicks suck. Like, they've always sucked. They had the one title against the Lakers, and for some reason Knicks fans think they get to, like, act like the Knicks actually matter when they really haven't for about 40 years. Phil Jackson took over, and he somehow made them worse. So basically, the general block A here is going to be me and Harrison and I, trying to figure out some way for the Lakers to take advantage of the Knicks and, well, Phil Jackson and, by extension, the Knicks' ineptitude. That's going to be the first part of this. Kristaps Porzingis probably isn't available, but, you know, if he demands a trade, we'll see. And on the backside of this, there's something to look forward to in terms of news for Laker fans keeping close tabs on this Paul George situation. That's going to be the second half of the show. So, Harrison, let me go ahead and frame this conversation about the Knicks and the Lakers and whatever, and then we'll see where the conversation takes us there. I'll start by saying this. It seems to me Phil Jackson is, like, waking up every single morning. Hey, did you ever see Bad Boys 2?
No.
You never saw Bad Boys? So, like, Bad Boys...
I never saw either one. I guess that's a different podcast.
It's the rare sequel that's actually better. Like, Bad Boys 2 is actually better than Bad Boys 1. But there's a scene where they're obviously... Do you know the premise of Bad Boys? Like, either movie?
Nope.
Good Lord. All right.
This is a great analogy that everybody's, I'm sure, keeping up with.
First off, everybody, make sure you guys give Harrison at HM Fagan a hard time about not knowing what Bad Boys.
I don't watch
is.
Movies, man.
Well, still, you should know that one. It's a great.
Gets to the point.
Bad Boy 2 is a great movie. But anyway, there's a scene in Bad Boys 2. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence are both cops, and they have a captain basically who's in charge of their department. And there's this scene where after Martin Lawrence and Will Smith go on this car chase that involves like a boat flying across a Miami freeway, multiple dead people's like heads like getting rolled over, like bodies, like previously dead bodies getting rolled over like speed bumps in this car chase, this captain winds up pulling them in his office and he asks them like, how did you wake up this morning, basically? And he goes, and I'm terrible at quoting movies, so I'll get this through as quickly as I possibly can. I'm not doing a good job of that yet. But
this has been Anthony reads a script from a movie that his co-host hasn't seen. It's our new hit segment. We're off to a great start tonight.
But he goes, hey, all right, you need to calm down, peel face. But he goes, he basically says to Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, he goes, you wake up in the morning, you ask yourself, you call each other, how's it going, Martin? How are you doing, Will? I'm great. How are we going to F up the captain's day today? You know, and that's basically how Phil Jackson is waking up every day, where he wakes up, he does his like Zen stuff, he does a little peyote, he looks at himself in the mirror, and he asks himself, how could I F up Knicks fans' days today? And today he decided he was going to F up.
Lately it's been by effing with Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, today he woke up and he was like, you know what? I'm going to piss off Kristaps more than he already is. And he did so today by not firing, but not renewing the contract of Kristaps Porzingis, his favorite assistant coach. And it led me to wonder, like, you know, Kristaps already... You knew this already, right, Harrison, that he decided he wasn't going to go to his exit interview. He skipped out on that.
Yeah, very famously skipped out on his exit interview. So I guess as punnet to teach him a lesson, Phil Jackson got rid of his favorite assistant coach.
Yeah, so he follows that up by, yes, like you said, firing his assistant coach. And today, I believe, Kristaps was supposed to do something, and he just flat out skipped on that again.
Oh, I didn't hear about this. Yeah, I thought that the last two lines of Stephon Bondi, who was the one who reported this assistant coach thing, the last two lines of his report are killer. So it goes, Hornacek brought in three of his own coaches last year, Jerry Sichting, Corey Gaines, and Howard Eisley. The only current Knicks coach with a history in the triangle is Kurt Rambis.
That's perfect.
Because Phil even wants wants every facet of their organization to include triangle expertise, despite like him and Kurt Rambis understanding the triangle, and like that's it.
Yeah. So, I took this Knicks report about Kristaps, who was already unhappy with the organization, who was already unhappy with Phil Jackson, to then get crapped on by Phil by having his favorite assistant fired. And Harrison, you spent time around the Lakers, right? You've been to practices, you've been to games and stuff like that.
Sure.
These guys do, and anybody who's been in a locker room, like there's a relationship that you have with your head coach, but then there's also a relationship that you build with your favorite assistant who will go out of their way to watch film with you, who will stay after practice with you to shoot around, who will focus on various aspects of your game. Like, for me, growing up, I had a Coach Kramer to me was my favorite assistant coach growing up when I was playing, and I was pretty good at shooting, and he was a team shooting coach. So I always just focused on, you know, I didn't like my head coach particularly much. I enjoyed those after practice sessions with Kramer because he and I saw eye to eye, and had Kramer been let go, then I don't know if I would have stuck around for my senior year or whatever, right? And for Kristaps, he's looking at this like, there's no way he sees eye to eye with Hornacek, because we don't even know what Hornacek is actually coaching. He's trying to be the...
I don't think Hornacek knows what he's actually supposed to be doing.
Right, yeah.
All due respect to Hornacek, it just seems like there's not a whole lot of a like coherent plan in place with the Knicks.
Yeah, so like if you're Kristaps, you're going to try to align yourself with a coach who you can actually see eye to eye with, who you can actually see like after practices and develop this relationship. I believe the coach who was fired or who didn't have his contract renewed was actually supposed to go back to Europe this offseason and do more scouting to see if he can unearth any more talent there.
He went overseas to train with Kristaps last year, and yeah. Kristaps wanted him to be an assistant on the Latvian national team. But because this is not Locked On Knicks, we need to talk about why this is related to the Lakers in any way at all.
Well, I was trying to give as much context as I possibly could. With all that context, I said, basically, long story short, the Knicks suck. The Lakers should take advantage. And for the Lakers, they have assets. They have financial flexibility. They have everything that they would need if Kristaps winds up demanding a trade. They could take advantage of the situation. And the one thing here is that, look, it hasn't been reported that if he demanded a trade, he would demand to go to the Lakers. He hasn't even demanded a trade yet, right? We just know he's unhappy with the organization.
There's not even been like whispers that he'll demand a trade.
Yeah. Though there have been more than whispers that he is unhappy with the organization.
Well, right? I think his actions would indicate that, yeah.
Yeah. Actions speak louder than words, Harrison. So for me, what got my wheels spinning, and I'm already the guy who wrote the Lakers should trade for Carmelo Anthony column.
Yeah, and, I mean, our backup name for this podcast is just we discuss trades with the Knicks that will never ever happen.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I'll put that in my Twitter profile tonight. I am the Knicks
expert Knicks Twitter trade troll.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Basically, the Lakers, I think, in this situation, because of their financial flexibility, because of their long-term assets that they currently hold, I think they could swoop in and show themselves as a potential suitor for Kristaps Porzingis if Phil Jackson is ever stupid enough to actually trade away the best player the Knicks have had since Patrick Ewing, basically, right?
Melo, that's pretty much inarguable.
Melo has been good. Melo was a great player at one point, but I think Kristaps, if he winds up living up to his full potential, has more potential to offer than Melo. I think
for sure.
I don't think that's a hard take. So, yeah. Let's start here. I've done a lot of talking, and you're going to mock me for asking this, but should the Lakers, like, does Kristaps Porzingis fit in what the Lakers are trying to do? Yes, right?
Yeah, and also, Kristaps is right now better and a more promising prospect than anyone the Lakers have. And so even if he doesn't necessarily fit in with what you're trying to do, you fit around Kristaps.
I completely agree.
The Lakers... And like, again, that's not to try. I still think Russell is very, very promising. I think Ingram is very, very promising. That's not to disparage them. It's just that Kristaps has for the most part, shown more.
Yeah, I don't think that's arguable.
I don't think it's as much as a lot of people think, but he has shown more.
Mm-hmm. So my first question was, does Kristaps fit with what the Lakers are trying to do? My next question is, do the Lakers currently hold the assets that you think could actually net them Kristaps Porzingis?
No, because the Knicks are not going to trade Kristaps Porzingis. I disagree with the premise of the question.
Okay, that's perfectly fine.
I think, honestly, in my opinion, we talked about this a little bit when we were discussing what we were going to discuss on today's show, is that Phil Jackson would be fired before he was allowed to seriously consider trade offers for Kristaps, unless it was like an obvious win for them where, you know, Minnesota came in and was like, hey, we'll give you Towns and Wiggins for some reason for Kristaps. Then, like, I think, yeah, you have to consider that. You have to do that. But if Phil is out there soliciting trades for Kristaps that, you know, are somewhat realistic, I think he'd be let go before he was able to execute them. I think that would – it's not even just about Kristaps' potential and all that stuff. It would just be about how negative – the headlines would be for the Knicks and how much outrage there would be in the fan base. I'm pretty sure that Jason Concepcion network would lead an armed revolt at Madison Square Garden if it leaked that Phil was shopping Kristaps.
So I think you're overlooking two aspects of this that really matter.
They could reboot Escape from New York with Phil Jackson as the lead character.
All right. So I think you're overlooking two very, very, very crucial points to this entire situation.
Please educate me.
One, the Knicks suck. They sucked before Phil Jackson got there. They sucked during the Isaiah Thomas years. They sucked before Isaiah Thomas. They sucked before Isaiah Thomas. The best era of their basketball was in the 70s, in which they won a single title that they got lucky with because Willie Reed shot himself up with horse steroids to come back.
Okay, and all right. That's
all right. I got a little carried away.
Yeah.
But like,
I do think that it is funny that the Knicks, everybody was calling them for them to blow it up, for somebody to come in and blow it up. And then Phil Jackson came in and blew it up. He got a bunch of praise. Like, this is how you rebuild. This is what you're supposed to do. And then he started making his next moves and people were like, Oh, never mind. It's still panic time. He blew it up and he's going to keep it. He apparently misunderstood and thought that you were just supposed to keep the franchise in the dirt.
All right. So that was the next part of this, is that Phil Jackson sucks at his job. So here's a thesis. I guess I'll go in on here's a hot take. Phil Jackson comes from a generation that believes the coach is deserving of respect no matter what. Like, the player has to earn the coach's respect, but not vice versa. And yes. I think Phil Jackson...
There was a certain Lakers head coach that had a similar problem.
Yes.
Way less success than Phil Jackson.
I believe he's listening right now with his arms crossed. But Phil Jackson comes from this era, and I believe that Phil Jackson is petty enough, and we know how petty Phil Jackson is. He wrote an entire book disparaging Kobe because why not?
Okay, it wasn't a whole book. It was like a chapter.
Well, okay, yes. But even still... But he writes these books. He goes into these situations, and if the situation doesn't work out, absolutely, idealistically, he writes books about it, right? And I bet he's already signed his book deal for the Knicks. I bet he's already, like, he has the first few chapters written, and I bet he has a chapter on Kristaps Porzingis written where he sends him away, and on his way out, Phil Jackson will write this chapter about how Kristaps didn't improve as much as he would have liked to seen in his second year because Kristaps Porzingis refused to go back to the days of yore, the years of yore, when big men played in the key and the three-pointer is this cheap way to get offense. And
he didn't truly embrace the triangle.
Yeah, I couldn't you possibly... Phil Jackson is so bad at his job that I can't honestly slide anything by him. So when you combine the Knicks being as bad as they are and Phil Jackson being as bad as he's shown himself to be, then... And James Dolan, for whatever reason, he had the opportunity this year, this very offseason, to say, all right, we've had enough of this Phil Jackson sideshow. He hasn't done anything. He drafted us Porzingis, but he's already crapping on Carmelo Anthony on his way out the door. He's crapped on all leverage that we might be able to have in order to be able to trade Carmelo Anthony for anything of worth. We should maybe go in a different direction. But James Dolan instead said, nope, I honor all these contracts. And the word is, the reporting surrounding James Dolan is that he is loyal to a fault with those who are perfectly fine taking bullets for him. And Phil Jackson has shown himself perfectly okay with taking bullets for James Dolan, or taking attention away from how bad James Dolan is as an owner. So I don't think Phil Jackson is going anywhere. And I think he, to a certain extent, is jealous of the fact that Kristaps Porzingis shows up in his rookie year and immediately gets all these headlines. And now he's kind of saying to himself, look, I thought I was supposed to be the savior. Kristaps is now all of a sudden some kind of savior. I need to redesign this team once again to be able to show everybody that this triangle, which is an extension of my personality, is the savior of basketball's quote-unquote mecca. and this is what it's going to take. And look, I think he sucks at his job, and Chris Stapps, he's going to make some GM really happy, and Phil Jackson just needs to get out of his own way to be able to let that GM be himself.
Okay, so I don't think that we're ever going to agree on this, because I just don't think that there's any chance in the world that they try and trade Chris Stapps. I mean, unless, like I said, it's a clear win of an offer for them that some team comes calling out of the blue. I can't see any world in which they start to shop him, just because he's been so promising and he has that fan base so energized that I can't imagine that would ever be something that would be approved. Even if Phil Jackson wanted to start doing it, I think it would get cut off pretty quickly. There's a certain level of common sense that you have to have, and I guess maybe applying common sense to the Knicks is my mistake. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see any way that they start shopping Kristaps. So with that said, what would your offer be for Kristaps in this hypothetical scenario?
Well, I think you have to be willing to take Carmelo back, right?
I mean, maybe. It depends on if they're trying to get rid. I guess.
We know they're trying to get rid of Carmelo.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's just hard to make a trade work with the Lakers salary-wise where the Knicks would be getting stuff they wanted.
Oh, well, I spent some time on the trade machine today. Would you like to see what I came up with?
Oh, God.
That's what everybody's response was like. Somebody told me today that every time I use the trade machine that it should just automatically break. I feel like that's just mean.
I kind of wish the ESPN would just shut it down, or at least block your IP address.
All right, so my first trade idea was this. Luol Deng and Jordan Clarkson for Carmelo and Porzingis, and the Lakers obviously have to throw in their number two pick. Do you do that trade if you're the Lakers?
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll go to the next one. The Knicks again throw it's Carmelo Anthony and Kristaps Porzingis for Timofey Mozgov, D'Angelo Russell, Tyler Ennis, Zubats, and the
Tyler Ennis.
Well, I had to make the money work.
Okay, I was like, yeah, wait, well, hold on. Why is Tyler Ennis in this deal? All right, say the package the Lakers are sending back again.
So Ennis is just contract, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's Mozgov, Russell, Zubats, and the Houston pick.
Mozgov, Russell, Zubats, and the Houston pick. Yeah. I mean, if you're getting one like that dang contract, or the Mozgov contract gone, plus all that, yeah, I think you have to do that.
Okay. Now, same trade, but with the number two pick.
Instead of something?
Instead of the Houston pick.
No, I think that's too much.
Okay. That first trade, Luol Deng, Jordan Clarkson, the number two pick, and the Houston pick.
Say again?
That first trade, remember, it was Luol Deng, Clarkson, and the number two pick, and then I'm throwing in the Houston pick on top of that.
Oh, easily. Yeah, the Houston pick doesn't move the needle that much for me.
Oh, see, I kind of disagree. I kind of think it matters to me. All right, last one.
I mean, here. It matters, but not in a trade like that. I think that's just like a sweetener. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, you're getting rid of Deng, and really, I mean, you don't have to get Clarkson's contract isn't bad where you're like you have to get rid of him, but it's not like a great contract when it's clear that him and Russell probably aren't a backcourt of the future. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think you definitely make that deal.
All right, so we have Luol Deng, Brandon Ingram, Ivica Zubats, as is. No picks. Maybe the Houston. I'll throw in the Houston pick. We'll throw in the Houston pick.
Yeah, I think I'd do that.
Luol Deng.
You're getting rid of the Deng contract, too. That's huge.
It is. You're taking the Carmelo contract, and you would hope that he opts out, but Luol Deng, Ingram, Zubats, and the number two pick. Do you do that?
No, I'm not really in favor of any deal where you're giving up any of the three second overall picks that the Lakers have. So Russell, the hypothetical one, and Ingram.
Okay. So you mean two of those?
I wouldn't want to include two of those three in any deal, really.
Okay.
I mean, I guess they're obviously their deals, but not really, not most deals.
Right. And so I guess like my question is, so we know that there's a line, it seems it's clear. You just gave the line that I think most Laker fans would agree with.
I'd be willing to give up one of those guys for Porzingis, but not any of the, but not two of the three.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree, because I don't believe in this draft the way I did like the D'Angelo Russell draft. You know, like going into D'Angelo Russell's draft, I said this thing could be like special.
Whoops. Well, actually, no. I guess it worked out okay. Yeah, there were good players in that draft. I was just thinking of Okafor.
He was so bad that somehow he's made everybody else worse.
I was like, oh man, that draft class was terrible. That was Jahlil Okafor's draft class, and then it's like, oh wait, there was Towns, Booker, Russell,
yeah,
Chris Porzingis,
yeah. But other than that, no, Okafor was so bad. But yeah, but I don't believe in this upcoming draft the same way I believed in that one. And I mean, again, I'm biased because I don't want to have to deal with LeVar Ball, like as a Laker fan or somebody who covers the Lakers. But like to me, the number two pick doesn't hold the same weight that it would in any normal year, because it means the Lakers will probably draft Lonzo Ball.
I mean, I disagree. Even as much as I don't really want to have to write a bunch of LeVar Ball stuff, I disagree just because I do think that Lonzo Ball is going to be a really good player.
Have you watched Lonzo Ball play?
Yeah.
Have you? You've seen him shoot then, obviously, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little unorthodox, but that's one of those things where I guess we're kind of just going to have to see if he can get that shot off at the NBA level. But I think it seems like his release is quick enough that he probably could.
My concern there is, how is he going to get a shot off going to his right ever? The ball comes back to his left.
To be honest, I haven't thought a ton about that specifically.
Like I spent this whole weekend talking with my dad about this stuff, and like the thing I kept coming back to with Lonzo is like, we already know he's going to be a great passer. We know he's probably going to be a pretty good to really good shooter at the NBA level as like a spot up guy, and going to his left, like a step back to his left. You saw him make that big shot against Oregon at home. That was a step back going to his left, and just naturally that shot released pretty cleanly. But like when you think about him dribbling to his right and trying to release a shot going to his right, that's not a great picture. And if you have somebody who can't go to his strong hand and release a shot going to a strong hand without getting to a rim or without getting to a floater, that's probably not a great sign for what that guy's going to be trying to do in his NBA career.
But I guess maybe, but like everybody has weaknesses coming into the league.
I guess, I don't know. That's a pretty glaring one. Like not being able to shoot going to your strong hand is a pretty glaring weakness offensively. And he's supposed to be better offensively than he is defensively, right?
So I still think he's going to be really good.
Yeah. And like I said, it's perfectly possible, if not probable, that my analysis is tainted by the fact that I just don't want to have to deal with LeVar. I think that all right. So we talked about the line that the Lakers wouldn't be willing the Lakers to go over when it comes to Kristaps. You talked about you're of the opinion that the Knicks.
Oh, this is never happening.
Yeah, that this is never going to happen. And I think it's important to offer that context. But I think for where the Lakers currently stand as an organization, anytime you see dysfunction the way we're seeing in the Knicks, they have to try to take advantage of it. They absolutely
Well, sure,
have
they
to.
can call, and then the Knicks are just going to hang up.
I don't – maybe – I mean, I can't put it past Phil or the Knicks because they both suck at what they're trying to do. To just, I would hope that if the Lakers had a talent of Kristaps Porzingis talent level, that they would just hang up. They would laugh whoever off the phone. But
I mean, I think they're probably doing that on some level with Russell right now. I would guess, because there are probably teams calling making laughable lowball offers because they think that the Lakers are just going to draft Lonzo Ball and decide that they can't keep Russell. So I mean, it's probably like it sounded like teams were trying to figure out what they wanted to, what they were willing to give up for Russell. And I'm sure the Lakers have gotten some bad offers for him. It would not surprise me to hear that.
What's a funny lowball offer that would like, that you like, what's the funniest lowball offer that somebody would offer you?
Okay, so just as an example, I forget which podcast I was listening to, but somebody said that they would not trade the Knicks pick in this current draft for Russell. And I think the Knicks are picking like 8th, right?
Yeah. Yeah, either 8th or 9th, yeah.
And it just, number one, it stopped me because I was like, wow, his stock around with like other people that aren't Lakers fans around the league is like really, really low. If people are saying, yeah, I wouldn't give up this late lottery pick for, or I guess mid lottery pick for Russell, who was the second overall pick like 2 years ago and has actually been fairly promising.
Yeah, actually, I saw similar stuff from like Kings Twitter where like they were saying they wouldn't trade the Kings pick, which I think is even higher. Like I think it's 10. They were debating.
I mean, that's insane. Yeah, that's the one they got from the Pelicans. But yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Anyway. Yeah.
Anywho. All right, let's move on though. I think I agree with you to a certain extent that the Knicks will not be moving Kristaps Porzingis. I think that's a perfectly logical and reasonable and honestly probable take regarding the analysis of what's going on in New York.
I'm glad that I could make you see reason.
All that said,
all of our listeners, you heard it here first. I made Anthony change his mind with my logic.
Easy there. I didn't change my mind. I think the Lakers should still come calling. I think they should still come calling hard. And the last.
Wait, hold on.
What?
Obviously, I think that the Lakers should call. I just don't think that the Lakers are going to be met with an answer or find any type of deal.
I think the Lakers and every team in the NBA. So, like, you saw how, and you're already seeing it with like the lowball offers that the Lakers are getting with Magic at the helm regarding D'Angelo Russell.
Well, like, we don't know if they're getting offers. We're saying probably.
Well, right, but according to those reports, because there are reports, it was a legitimate report.
Well, no, there were reports that teams were trying to figure out what they would give up for Russell. There were no reports that the Lakers have actually taken any calls. I think that's an important distinction to make.
Oh, see, I took it the other way, where I...
Yeah, most people do just read the headlines and then, like, assume stuff. It's okay, you're not alone.
We've discussed my...
There are no actual reports that the Lakers have taken calls.
Okay, but I think the fact that these teams are trying to figure out lowball offers to offer Magic Johnson has a lot to do with the fact that Magic has no experience in this form.
Yeah,
like, I don't think they would make these lowball offers, or they would spend time thinking about lowball offers regarding D'Angelo Russell or any lottery talent with the Lakers with Mitch Kupchak on the other end of that line.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And I don't really know, to be honest. I'm sure that there are probably executives that would try and take advantage of Magic, but that is a slippery slope because I think we've heard – Daryl Morey talk about it before, but like if you totally fleece someone on a deal, they're not going to deal with you again. Or you like insult someone with your offer on a deal, like make it seem like you're trying to fleece them. They aren't going to want to deal with you again. It is a relationship business. So these joking, laughable offers that like sometimes we make up and joke with each other about, they probably don't happen as often as we'd like to imagine.
I would agree with you, there's nothing to agree or disagree with. I would also add, though, that like I think there are degrees to which the laughability are graded based on the person that's on the other end of that line. You know, and I think like with Phil Jackson on the other end of that line, knowing all of the baggage that he carries into any of these discussions, I think you could offer him a lower ball offer than most GMs because you know he's terrible at his job. You know, like there's always that team. Everybody listening to this show right now has probably played some type of fantasy sport at some point in their lives. And in all of those leagues that you guys have played in, there's always that one owner who you look at and you say, I probably wouldn't offer this to anybody else, but I might, and I might attach it with like a...
Sure. I'm not disputing that people are going to try and make offers to the Knicks, or that maybe they'll try and make offers to the Lakers. I just don't think that the Knicks are going to trade Kristaps Porzingis. That's just been my thing this whole time.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I'm about 75% in agreement with you there. Like, I really think Phil Jackson's pettiness can't be overstated here. All right, let's move on. We've spent way more time than we anticipated here. Let's quickly hit this Paul George update that is going to be worth keeping an eye on for Laker fans. He, before this past weekend, was it Thursday or Friday, Harrison? Do you remember?
It was Thursday when all the stuff about him was dropping, I think.
All right.
So, and there was that report from Sam Amick that after he missed out on the All-NBA team, he was going to think about his options this weekend. So I guess Paul George will have thought – by the time you're listening to this, Paul George has thought about his options, and he may be deciding to do something while under contract. I don't know. Like, it's pretty nebulous what he could actually do short of demanding a trade.
Yes. So – I don't think he's going to demand a trade. Do you think?
No,
he's going
to... I don't think so either. Yeah. From all the reports that are coming out, it sounds like he doesn't want the Lakers to trade for him. He wants to just go to them in free agency because he wants them to have those pieces, like we talked about on the show on Friday, whether that be just to have the assets in order to maybe trade them, or because he really thinks that these guys are promising, or maybe that's something to do with his agent being the agent of several of these younger Lakers. So, you know, there's a lot in play here.
Something that literally just crossed my mind. Would Paul George demanding a trade help or hurt the Lakers' leverage?
In a trade?
Yeah, like if he demanded a trade, if he told Indiana, trade me to the Lakers right now, would that help?
Oh, I think it helps the Lakers.
Why didn't that help the Knicks?
Because the Knicks are dumb.
So that gets back to my original point. That's why the Knicks are going to trade Kristaps Porzingis. But
and there was like real financial incentive for Melo to force his way to New York, and he was willing to kind of say, even if it didn't really seem real, that he was going to look at all of his options that summer if the Knicks didn't trade for him, because there was like financial stuff in play. The Lakers, there's no financial advantage to George in getting there now or getting there this summer.
Okay, and that's all fair. But what I wonder here, and I could be completely wrong, this is what happens when ideas strike me during the podcast. But what I wonder here is, if Paul George says, I demand a trade and I demand that you trade me to the Lakers, that takes everybody else off the table. But that puts a little bit of pressure on the Lakers. As soon as that report comes out, that puts a little bit of pressure on the Lakers to actually pull that off. Because now all the Lakers fans are going to be out there saying,
yeah, Magic, you said that you were the guy that wasn't going to miss out on superstars.
Yeah, and so to a certain extent, if I'm the Pacers, I'm saying, hey, this guy really wants to be a Laker, and you have a huge fan base to appease. You better pull off this trade. Here's, you know, we're going to expect not an actual piece bigger. Like, if they were expecting before the number two pick and, you know, Clarkson, it's not like they're going to be like, we're expecting now D'Angelo Russell and the number two pick and Jordan Clarkson. Not to say, again, I'm not reporting that that's what they're expecting, but
yeah.
if they were expecting the number two pick and Clarkson, they might say, you know what, throw in Nance too, because the expectation is now from Paul, from your fan base, that you are going to pull this off. Go ahead and throw in Nance or throw in Zubats or whatever to make this to actually sweeten the pot and make us really consider this. I don't know.
Sure, I think that is the argument the Pacers would make, because you have to negotiate, right? But yeah. I also don't think that Magic and Pelinka would fall for it.
No, I would hope not. I would hope not. But that's the extra pressure.
I mean, Pelinka's played this game. He's been an agent, so I can't see him really going for that.
Yeah. All right, the other thing,
and plus
here,
the way that he negotiated that Kobe extension, I'm convinced he's going to fleece every team in every trade he pulls off.
I thought he didn't negotiate that. I thought he negotiated the Lakers down.
He did whatever is most convenient for my joke.
That's perfect. All right, so we're probably in agreement then that Paul George probably isn't going to outright demand a trade. And if he does outright demand a trade,
I think he's just going to get more and more passive aggressive throughout the year.
Yeah. All right, so we'll go. If he isn't going to outright demand a trade, and there, you know, he could become, you know, more passive aggressive as the year goes along. But what options does he actually have here? Like, could he say,
That's what I was curious about when this report came out. I don't think that, short of demanding a trade, I don't think that he has options. He's under contract. Okay. He could pull a Michael Jordan and go play baseball.
Yeah. So he could. So if he says, I flat out will not sign any extension that you offer at any point, that's the only way he can really flex his own personal leverage, right? Other than demanding a trade.
Well, that's kind of the same thing. It's letting them know that you're not going to sign an extension, so try and get something for me now.
Okay. But then, though, that's not him saying, not only will I not sign an extension, like, because again...
What's his incentive to tell them that if he isn't demanding a trade?
Also, if he's going to go there... He may as well go so far as to say, not only will I not sign an extension with you, but if you trade me to a team that isn't the Lakers, I'm making sure they know in the interview that they hold with me that I flat out will not sign with them. Like, that's what Howard tried to pull with the Lakers.
What's his incentive to do that, though, if he isn't demanding a trade?
Well, that was the crazy question with Howard, right? Before the Lakers wound up pulling off that trade that they finally did with him, apparently, he was on the table at the trade deadline, and the Lakers came to him and asked him, hey, would you sign an extension with us in the offseason, or would you re-sign with us in the offseason? And he said no. You know, and the Lakers wound up going ahead with the trade anyway because it's Dwight Howard and you make that gamble. And I'm sure, like, if you're – what kind of team would make that gamble? Atlanta? Atlanta would probably make that gamble, right?
With Paul George?
With Paul George.
I could see Houston doing it too.
Yeah, so like if you're one of those teams, you make that gamble anyway and you try to convince them, hey, look, this is a really cool spot for you and whatever. But yeah, I mean, you and I, me and Drew.
I don't get what his incentive is to do that, to tell them that if he doesn't want to be traded.
Why wouldn't he want to be traded?
Well, but we're working under the premise that he wants to get to – I guess maybe that's a faulty premise. Maybe he isn't desperate to get to Los Angeles and he just doesn't want to be in Indiana. And then in which case, then sure. But that's – I just feel like we're – like semantically here, this is the same thing as demanding a trade.
Yeah.
Because why else – if he wasn't demanding a trade, why else would he even tell the Pacers that?
I think he would tell the Pacers that to either wake them up and do whatever they possibly can to get another superstar there ASAP.
Yeah, I guess that's one possible motive. Yeah, sure.
And the other one is, there wasn't another one. There wasn't another one.
No, I mean, that's probably, I guess that's like the best guess, is that maybe he's trying to get them to make one last win now move. But I think he has to know in his heart of hearts that the Pacers are not going to build a title contending team around him.
I
think that's why you're getting so many leaks about the Lakers.
Should we spend maybe a minute trying to figure out what the Pacers could do to actually, because like it's weird to me.
No, because there's nothing they can do.
Well, it's weird to me. Do you think it's just jealousy regarding the Lakers that so many people are willing to be so vocally against Paul George wanting to be a Laker? Because that's really irked me to the point where I went on a Twitter rant risking the Lakers' karma the night before the lottery. We're like, I don't understand.
I think there's a vocal minority that talks to you about this. I don't think there are that many people that don't want to see him as a Laker. I don't think there are that many people that care other than Lakers fans.
Matt Moore just wrote verbatim that Paul George to the Lakers makes zero sense.
Well, he's kind of not wrong. I mean, from a basketball sense, it doesn't. But if Paul George wants to be in Los Angeles, then sure it makes sense.
But why does it make zero basketball sense?
Because it's unlikely that the Lakers are going to be able to, like these young guys right now, their primes don't necessarily line up with George's, and they aren't like a great team right now. So if he wants to win, I think the point is that they aren't necessarily a better choice than Indiana. But I don't think that with Los Angeles, that's not all that it's about to George. Like, it sounds like he just wants to be in LA.
Are they more or less movable than the pieces that Indiana has assembled around George?
Oh, definitely more.
So I don't understand.
I don't think anybody's arguing that Indiana's not a terrible like situation either.
Huh?
I don't think anybody's arguing that he'd be better off staying in Indiana.
But like, where would he go? Like Denver? Like he could
signing with one of the teams that's been rumored to be after him for forever. You know, Boston, whatever it may be.
Yes, because we've watched how great Boston has looked in this Cleveland series.
I mean, still, they were the one seed. If they had Paul George, they'd look a lot better.
I think that's overstated. But, all right, that we've kind of ranted on this. We didn't expect to go this long, to be completely honest. I hope you guys enjoyed the Kristaps conversation. I hope you guys have enjoyed this Paul George conversation. And if you guys have anything to add to it, make sure you at either Harrison or me. Harrison's at HM Fagan. I'm at Anthony Irwin LA. Make sure you guys send us an email if you have anything to add in longer form to LakersLockedOn@gmail.com. Join this conversation. Rate us on iTunes. You know what? I floated out a couple trade ideas. Give us some trade ideas in the Locked On Lakers iTunes reviews. And if we have any that are better than mine, we'll shout them out on
not
the show.
Not hard.
That's just mean. But we'll shout them out on the show, whether it's for Kristaps, whether it's for Paul George, whatever. We'll shout them out on the show if they're better than ours. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. We have a fun week scheduled ahead of us moving forward. Thanks for tuning in with us again on this Monday. I hope everybody had a great weekend. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Support for this podcast comes from NetSuite. NetSuite lets you run your business from your phone, so you can see what's going on with your company in real time. Go to netsuite.com/podcast to get your free guide and find out why NetSuite is the last business system you'll ever need.